Public Enemy Number 1 presents The Last Survivor, Chapter 4, Murky Waters. The water was coming in like a flood. Jerome had seconds before he would be dragged into the depths of the ocean. Jerome grabbed the metal panel from the door. It was only the size of his chest, and with a great leap, he jumped through the hole just as the metallic box sank into the depths of the ocean. Jerome was now alone. Everybody on the ship had died, thanks to the sergeant. Jerome looked up at the now black sky from multiple missiles sent from the American borders. His toes were freezing from the cool, crisp water engulfing his lower torso. All of this happened in 3 seconds. The sergeant shooting down the door, all of the soldiers lying in the capsule dead, and the water coming in like a waterfall. Now Jerome was here, stuck in the middle of the ocean, with no food or water. Damn it, Jerome told himself as he began to recollect his thoughts. He was, again, stranded, alone, no food and no water. Listen to what is happening, audience. Jerome is in a state of constant fear and hopelessness, wondering if he'll ever make it out alive, if anybody will even remember his story. Audience, what would you do in this situation? Your options are obviously very limited. Most of the people in this part of the story would look at me and say, This is just the rising action of the story. Heck, this might even be the climax, depending on how short the story is. The main character can find a way out of this. It has to happen. All good stories have to do this. Have to have the main character survive. Listen, audience, to the fact that I could end this story right now. I could say that a lightning comes down due to the metal rod and kills him instantly. I could say that he dies of starvation and nobody comes to save him. I could even say that he commits suicide because he feels like there's no other way out. But let's face it. He's Jerome. He has no strength. He's weak. He's skinny. And he's very young. He's only at the age of 18. He's not really built for situations like this. Sure, he's been through a lot of scenarios, like, what do you, like, in battle camp, like, what do you do if an enemy starts shooting at you? But I don't think they trained him for something of this, where their own sergeant commits suicide to the whole team except for Jerome. There is another scenario that might give us a little turn. I could even say that a shark from the darkness swallows him whole. Pointless, right? It would be a dumb story. In fact, let's go with that route. As Jerome fixes his body on the piece of metal that which he had taken from the black box of metal, a black shadow volumes under Jerome's feet. He feels something touch him, like it was a rubbery triangle. As soon as he looks down, the shadow jumps from the murky water and swallows him whole. Chapter 5. A new story begins. In the last chapter, I could bet $100 that some people thought that I was going to make a new character and forget about our old pal, Jerome. You couldn't be any more wrong. Jerome, of course, is still alive. I just didn't want you guys thinking it was boring. Let's continue. Sticky. Slimy. And stinky. The smell of rotten fish flows into Jerome's brain as he wakes up. He was unconscious. And he didn't even know it. Jerome, the only thing he remembers is the explosion and the shadow. And that shadow happened to be a whale. Now, for those people in the audience who are very scientific and are telling me right now, whales don't swallow people. This is an imaginary story. Fiction. It's in the future. Whales are starving. They'll take anything that has any substance of protein and nutrition. That seems very real to me. Jerome steadies himself. He can feel the water underneath him. Tiny krill crawling their way into the stomach. They don't even know where they're going. Jerome sees the baleen, the sort of teeth of the whale that allow the whale to not swallow anything he can't really chew. Except this time. I guess the whale forgot about that. Jerome was never known to have any sort of motion sickness. But that didn't mean his body wasn't prepared. Now, for those people in the audience who are thinking that I am stuttering, I am very sick. Bear with me. Jerome feels his body being pressed against some invisible force, and then he realizes he's going deeper into the water. The deeper that the whale goes, the more condensed and crushed Jerome, our lovely friend, will be. Jerome, in desperation, taught to only survive and not to care about animals, takes out his knife and jumps and starts stabbing and stabbing the beast. The beast opens his mouth and moans, a sorrowful moan, dragging Jerome right out of the whale. Jerome, pleased to see that he successfully got out of the whale, now realizes he's in the ocean. He quickly, desperately starts swimming up and up and up. The only thing he can hear is the sound of the whale moaning, and his arms flailing, desperate to get a breath of air. He's close. He's so close. He can see the light. He can see the break of the water. Black. Jerome passed out. Jerome sort of drowned. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. The sound of waves splashing on Jerome's face slap him awake. His hands, his body, his everything is weak. as he crawls along the beach sands. Click, 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 click. Ew. He looks up, his eyes stinging from the salt water, an assault rifle pointed at his face. Get up. You are our new prisoner, a man says in his Spanish language. Huh? I don't speak. Nino speako Spanish. Jerome fumbles to say, forgetting his Spanish classes he took in high school. The three men, who are obviously Hispanic, start laughing and belly laugh. They conversate in their language, and they look at Jerome. Let's take him away. He will be the boss we love. These are the only things that Jerome can make out of their unique language that Jerome has obviously forgotten. My friends, a story can be taken in many different ways. You thought that I was going to kill him. You thought I was going to keep him. Well, now he's trapped in the Mexican lairs. Wait for the next chapter to see what happens. This has been... Ooh, I'm so tired. Thank you, everybody. This has been Public Enemy Number One Productions. If you didn't like the story, you don't have to. I'm coming out with a new book. I told you I had to get these two chapters out. I didn't want you guys missing them. I'm sick. You guys can listen to this, like, on the way to work or something, but I am sick. But, yeah. So, thank you guys for listening, as always. This has been Public Enemy Number One. And... have any suggestions for what the story could use? Please tell me. I'm sick. So if you're saying anything vocal, that could happen when I'm not sick. This is Jack Johnson, the publisher, producer, and the creator of Public Enemy Number One Productions, signing off.